Hello and welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, December 4th, 2021. This was a Twitter space hosted by Ben May titled Picks, Shovels, and Vortexes. Vortices? Vortexes. Anyway, towards the end, CFI picked it up and then we'll transfer over to part one of a two-part chat that CFI did on his Twitter space. We basically just chased him around all night, so let's take a listen.
Is intertwined with that, and then suddenly you have, you know, 20 different hardware wallets. You also have some third-party custodianship, and you have the counterparty risk there, etc., etc. And then, from a regulatory point of view, reporting all of that data, you know, quarterly is an absolute nightmare because you've got all these disparate data sources. And then, when you couple that, you've also got all this siloed liquidity across how many hardware wallets or custodianships you've got, versus using QRDO, you can actually store everything in one place, and then you get rid of that whole siloed liquidity, which is a problem for blockchain across the whole space. You know, we've got all the value just locked away in hardware wallets and thing, and it's just, you know, when you put money into a bank, you instantly add to liquidity of the entire market as a whole, because that money is just straight out the door and they're doing God knows what with it, you know? But that just doesn't happen within blockchain at all. That's why you have the need for, you know, liquidity pools, et cetera. And then I think the major innovation which is built upon is this MPC. Now, forgive my technical inability, but the basics of MPC, which is multi-party computation, is essentially, rather than having, like, you know, two private keys, and the kind of security problems and that come with that, they have these globally distributed data centers which act as nodes. Okay, and what MPC is your private key will essentially be split up into many different parts, encrypted, and then held by each one of those nodes. So, and to sign for a transaction and to reach consensus, a certain amount of those nodes would have to be in consensus. You know, let's say, I don't know, 6 out of 10, let's say, and they're globally distributed. So even if one was compromised, or two or three, you know, the whole network is still safe. So you kind of get rid of the risk of hardware wallets, or sorry, of software wallets, but also some of the risk of hardware wallets as well.
So is QRDO, is it its own? Like, is it just a multi-sig system, or is it like with a, where this is recorded on a chain, or is this
both,
like,
both.
Does it actually have a smart contract system and everything like baked in? Is it like its own sovereign L1, or what is it?
No. So what, I don't know how you exactly class it in terms of L1 and L2, but I mean, essentially it's blockchain agnostic. So they're based on Ethereum, Bitcoin. They're working on Solana, Terra, AVAX, Algo. And the idea would be that, I mean, this solves the L2 scaling issue. It allows you to do atomic swaps across you know, any asset. Which obviously is on their own network, which from a reporting point of view, that's why it solves that issue. And then also it solves the issue of, you know, gas fees, etc., and privacy. And what else? What was the other question? I don't know if I answered all your questions or not.
Yeah, and is it that, so is it is there anything like this otherwise coming to, say, for example, like IBC on Cosmos, or how does QRDO interact with all these other chains, I guess?
So the answer to that question is, I'm very interested if anyone knows if there's anyone trying to do not just one of these things, but is trying to do all of these things at once like QRDO is. Okay, I'd be very interested to know, because, you know, I want to know if there's anything else out there. I don't know if it links in how it links in, because I think it has something to do with that, something to do with Tendermint, is that? But again, I've only been in this space for about a month now, so my knowledge is still, I'm still learning, you know.
Gotcha. Well, Cosmos Tendermint is basically the software development kit that Luna and Atom and a number of other sovereign Cosmos chains are based on. So interblockchain compatibility, or IBC, is sort of the system that allows all of those to sort of interchange coins, and like it makes things easy to create like decentralized exchanges between all of these. So that's the cool thing about the Cosmos ecosystem. I'm just curious if like what QRDO does, because it sounds like it's like a multi-chain type of utility. I'm just curious how like you bring in, let's say, like Terra primitives, or how it interacts with like the Terra blockchain wallets and everything. It's interesting. I'm just curious how they achieve the various like interoperability angles. But if you don't know,
not 100%. The one thing I do know though is I believe that, you know, Coinbase is just developed or about to bring out their NFT marketplace, or they maybe just launched it. I believe that Credo is doing is helping with the custodianship of those of NFTs. So it's going to actually, you're going to be able to hold NFTs in your wallet as well. And I believe you're going to be able to do some kind of atomic swaps with those, although I'm not 100% certain how that's going to look.
I'm curious too, like, so one important thing always with these coins is like there's like utility of the coin. Like, do you use QRDO, the coin, for paying for something? And like, sort of like you do with Render, you know, you pay for rendering services. That's one question. And then the second one would be like, is there a value accrual mechanism for the token? Right? Because a lot of different services like have a token, but then you're not sure how the token actually accrues any of the value of the network.
Yeah. So
where that's sort of somewhat apparent right now is like, it's not really clear. I haven't seen the new white papers for Chainlink, but if you look at how Chainlink's price has been suffering, it's partly because there's not an obvious reason for you to own the actual coin. Like it's like you get why Chainlink is good and why it's like, you know, useful. You're just not really clear like what the coin does for you sometimes.
Yeah, I think, I mean, so I don't want to murder, I've read the tokenomics, but it's a little bit more complicated than the average set. I'm very sure it does answer some of those questions. I mean, the tokenomics, for example, they have, from what I believe, 2 billion max supply, right? 1 billion of those is already distributed to kind of their industrial partners, which is like Deribit, Celsius, I'm going to murder some names, but you know, some of the biggest names in blockchain already, institutional partners that are already using the product themselves. And even though they start to vest within the next 6 months, some of those anyway, and some over, I think it's fully over the next 2 years. A lot of those, from my conversations with other kind of people, they don't reckon much of those are going to hit the market. And the reason being is they're also governance tokens for them. So they have a vested interest in actually retaining control of the network and its development over the future, you know?
Huh. So is it considered a public blockchain, but the voting power is sort of held sort of centrally so far or something?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like anyone can go and use it, but is it centralized? Yeah, like from what I can see at the moment. But I think they have, I mean, the question's been asked by several people and they have plans to decentralize it. But at the same time, I think they would whatever, they're not going to decentralize the power, because, you know, that's why they've set up the tokenomics like they have, I think.
It's almost like they picked those, that kind of profile for a reason, and going backwards on that would be weird.
But at the same time, like, and I'm looking at it as a whole, and I'm thinking, you look at like people like Luna, right? And Luna is beautiful and great, but it's very adversarial the way they're kind of taking on things. And not to say that's not going to work. I mean, the likes of Airbnb did that, and it, where they're at now. But I mean, you look at the founders, like this Benjamin Whitby guy, and I watched A Real Vision with him. And I mean, he's been in that world. He knows how to navigate that whole regulated world, and he's solving their problems. And I just see them becoming the gatekeepers for pretty much all institutional regulated money to sort of flow into the space, you know, because it just solves so many of their issues. and it's just a bit of a no-brainer for them.
Yeah, I mean, the philosophical debate is like sort of like what, you know, XRP is doing with like banks and such. Mm, like the idea is that like, well, some of the things that we're designing on Terra is like making essentially banks, insurance companies, and a lot of other things just wholesale obsolete, quite frankly. So the bearish position on the institutional side would be that they're going to be like payphones and Blockbuster Video, and no one's going to give a shit about them at some point.
Yeah.
So that would be the flip side argument. Now, it, you know, like you said, it can go, these things can go either way. There's the kind of like the how do you fit with existing regulations versus ultimately how do you just lead to a world where they just completely wholesale change the regulations because the system's so different. And I think, you know, my intuition is that the old world institutions, like, they just can't exist anymore in the context of like the Pandora's box that's already been opened. So it's sort of like how, like, when after smartphones came out, like eventually like your even your home phone became like semi-pointless except for like 911 or something. And the that sort of progression, I just don't know that the old world institutions can actually like survive in a tokenomics world. In other words, everything ends up changing, which is highly probable actually in my view. It's sort of like the best way to envision this is like, so like when E equals MC squared like emerged, right? As a like, you know, a mathematical construct and a scientific construct, like it basically changed the world forever. Like it, like there was no government that couldn't, that like was able to avoid considering nuclear weapons, nuclear power plants, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like, and all the implications that came about from that. And like it completely changed warfare. It completely changed, what you consider a reasonable ROI on, let's say, electricity or something. You know, all of that changed. So we're the speed with which like decentralized systems will affect the traditional centralized world. I mean, like I'm envisioning ways to wholesale destroy the entire insurance industry, the entire planet. Like the entire plant, like put all of them out of business.
Yeah. But
and like, so the idea that I'm going to worry about like regulating them, like when they're going to zero, I'm not going to worry about shit. Like they're literally all going to zero.
I think that would be, you know, a lot of those could be happy if they went by the wayside, but I don't think it's going to be that easy. I think they are just going to, it doesn't matter what should happen. They're just going to make up laws to actually keep themselves. I mean, with all the CBDCs. A big question.
I don't think so, because like here's the thing, once the politicians are using our programs, like it's just too late at that point. It's sort of like how like nobody's regulating payphones or Blockbuster.
How many of those people are ever going to be able to figure out how to get onto Ethereum, bridge over to like Polygon or whatever other layer two? I mean, like, never gonna fucking happen. Is it normies?
No. Now keep in mind, like the L1s and L2s and all the things you see now, these are just more like composability building blocks. So like, yeah, what you're not like seeing yet is what's going to happen. So the apps that normies use are not going to be the apps that you and I are using now. Like that's not what we're building is essentially the sort of like, plan. Yeah. Go to like Cash or like go to Alice Finance, which, you know, are building debit card connections and shit like that. So like an average person just wants to interact with that. They don't necessarily want to like learn how to play in DeFi, right?
No, dude. So this is why like I'm so bullish on Credo, for example, because I don't see anybody doing things, like any normies doing it the way we're doing it right now with just like Chrome software wallets and stuff like that, like Chrome extension software wallets. Like that's not happening. I can't even see them using a ledger, to be honest. Like never gonna happen. Like, but using something like Credo, or where it just completely makes everything seamless. You just log in once and they're just guided like sheep through it.
The Credo bull case to me, the way you're describing it, would be like, so for example, an example would be like we were working on like an inheritance thing for my father who's not well, and he was interested in like having his grandchildren like, you know, inherit some of his assets and such. So if we had his assets, say for example in crypto, and you like had wallets that were managed on like Credo, you could technically put like a multi-sig situation where, you know, like if something happened to him, then these certain people have to sign it, and then that would be released to said grandchildren or whatever.
Exactly.
Or maybe you could put like a timer on that wallet, and in a certain number of years that opens or something, or some other.
Yeah,
scheme,
no, no,
right?
it makes sense. Yeah, like even your trust, you know, like which will auto stake on the platform, and then it actually will release, you know, X amount of money per month, per year, or per month, or whatever it may be. To whoever inherits it. No, it makes total sense. You don't have to worry about any. Cause I mean, from my knowledge, most kind of trusts, I mean, some of them manage to last out for quite a long time, but in the end, they kind of fail and they run out of money. You know, somebody spends it all at some point in the chain.
Yeah, and I'm not even suggesting like a decentralized systems don't deserve like some kind of like, you know, chain of custody sort of thing, because like right now, like if I were to drop dead, like, you know, like how's my wife gonna figure out how all my, you know, degen shit is all locked up and things, right?
I mean, dude, so I've made it
gonna be like, what the fuck?
I've made it actually impossible for anybody, you know, like unless I tell you how to do it, you're not able to do it.
Yeah, I've got to set up someone that knows how to figure it out, you know, and
yeah,
but yeah, like the custody elements, yeah, no question, that to me is the more like obvious use case of QRDO, and I don't know that anyone's fully solved that yet. Maybe they have, and I'm curious how it interacts with like Terra, for example, and how like dApps on Terra can build systems using that network or whatever.
Yeah, couldn't tell. I haven't looked directly into Terra's harming. I've only got into space in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and oh, it's overwhelming. It's just too much, you know?
So you'd consider yourself like a crypto normie as it is, huh?
What do you mean? As a crypto normie, you mean like, I don't know much.
Well, I mean like fairly new to it. Yeah. Normie as in like, you know, I'm a normie when it comes to like, I don't know, fixing an airplane or whatever. I have no fucking clue, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, I'd probably say I'm there. I mean, I've been using Bitcoin since like 2012, 2013, but like, you know, starting back then for illicit activities. And I got back into it last year, just, you know, just what, about 10K, and made quite a bit of money. Okay. And then just recently, I don't know, I think I've noticed a large a pattern across all my entrepreneur friends that everyone suddenly felt it coming together at the moment. I mean, still, don't get me wrong, it's super early still, but it's definitely, things have changed this last year, you know. It's starting to actually like come together and actually become like a real thing, like, and you know, everyone can feel that it's almost a foregone conclusion, everything's going that way. It's not a question mark anymore.
Well, considering it's probably some fraction of the people in this spaces probably have more money in their crypto now than they do in their either bank accounts or retirement accounts, probably says something in terms of valuation, you know, like, so it the amount of percentage of your portfolio that is in crypto now is pretty high for a lot of the folks in this room, almost certainly, just looking at everybody on here. And you know,
I mean I'm a millennial, but I'm like 90% crypto. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm my risk is spread out, but I just I can't see why I would put anything in traditional assets at the moment, really. I just don't, just, yeah, just this is the biggest bet of our lives, like in the next 5 years. And there's just so many opportunities, and I don't want any kind of coulda, woulda, shouldas, you know?
Right. So I guess you wanted to cover Render a little bit. Did you have any thoughts on it?
Yes. I mean, I'm totally bullish on it long-term, just purely from, I mean, there's so many aspects, but from who's behind it and just, the metaverse as we see it right now, like none of it's new. It's just just taking what's already been invented and just kind of adding a blockchain to it, right? And like all the kind of games just seem to be like Axie Infinity, just a Ponzi game. You know, it's an interesting concept, but there'll be a ton more and it'll go by the wayside. But render and what it promises in terms of the live animation and holograms and all that stuff, I mean, oh, actually gets me so excited, you know?
Do you know who has announced like actual real-time rendering related activities using the render network? Is like Facebook or like who's using it next? Who are the big players next?
So from my understanding in the videos I've kind of watched, where the things that are being worked on behind the scenes and they can't really be talked about, you know, from the Apple employees, I kind of know my network. They're working on live animation. Sorry, my headphones ran out, actually. Yeah, live animation's a big one that everyone's working on. And it just, yeah, that's as far as it goes. It just seems to be, I don't know how far away we are, really. Like, I mean, even if it's 2 or 3 years away, or even 5 years, I'm quite happy just buying and holding for that time, because I just see it's, no one else is even really working on this, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, the most obvious thing to render would be, like, just people's avatars and stuff, you know, in real time. You know, that could get interesting just by itself.
No, but, definitely. I'm
going
to wait until NFTs and stuff, like, some of these will stick around, like, you know, Bored Apes, Neo Tokyo, etc. They'll stick around just for the heritage element. But until you can get an NFT, whether you buy it or you're given it, and you can actually use it interoperably between whichever game or metaverse, like, I can't really see any real utility for them, you know? But, like, and the one thing I've been thinking, though, is that how I see it developing in the short term is that profile pictures across Web 2 are really an untapped kind of piece of real estate for brands to advertise. And I see kind of like profile pictures, NFTs as profile pictures for customers, as being the next evolution after kind of micro influencers, and actually having your customers use it. And yeah, because, you know, it's prime real estate if you think about it.
Yeah, like, so are you pretty heavy in either of these, like, coins in terms of ownership, or
rendering Credo? Yeah, heavily into those. Luna, actually, probably one of the few people in here that isn't. I don't really want to bet on a layer one such. I just missed the boat, if I'm honest. That's what happened. I didn't see it early enough to sort of feel like I'm going to gain. I want to gain as much as possible and place the biggest bets I can. And I think I missed the boat on Luna to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, I think the like that cycle one growth, which is like that immediate, like when it goes from pennies to $100 type of thing, is nice to get into. At the same time, like, tokenomics wise, though, man, it is hard to replicate that in any other process, because, like, think about it this way. If you look at the coins we're talking about, like QRDO, Luna, Render. Okay, so what is the number one product that anyone wants on this planet? It's basically money.
The way I'm thinking about it myself is that I think in the short term, I'm going to get more growth from Credo and Render, potentially because of the narratives at the moment, and then actually taking some of those profits and actually reallocating those to Luna. As you say, I think it's going to be very much like an ETH play, or not even an ETH play. I think it's going to be far exceed that in time to come. The only thing I'm really unsure about, and maybe you'll be able to answer this, is what happens when US dollar converts over to CBDC? And because, I mean, it's pretty confirmed it's going over at some point. What do you think happens?
So, for starters, it really depends on what the decentralized exchanges do. Now, decentralized exchanges ultimately are going to be probably larger than the central exchanges in terms of total volume. Most DEXs have shown the propensity to want to basically acquire any liquidity they can. So, for example, if there's a bunch of lunatics with UST, then the next layer one has an interest in, like, incorporating UST into the system. At the same time, a lot of the current US dollar stable coins, like, for example, USDC or Tether, they represent a significant amount of liquidity and traded volume and usage. So, you know, Terra would like to have people move from liquidity there that they might have into the Terra ecosystem with in a frictionless manner. So any CBDC attempt by the government typically will be a massive, or any governments will be a massive global influx into like crypto in general. And what will happen that's really quite obvious is that like no matter what the CBDC does, it becomes obsolete the moment it comes out, because the probability that you're going to create a CBDC with better tokenomics, because you know countries typically want to have like inflationary tokenomics, mainly because they want their currency not to be hoarded but to be spent
Just drill down on one point you said there about as soon as CBDC is kind of announced, it's going to be a global influx of thing. Are you talking about from like normies, like you know, like boomers?
Yeah, like because DEXs will immediately
point particularly, right? Let's talk about like the class of people that you know have struggled to connect to the Wi-Fi. Those type of people, right? How are they going to do this? Question one, and then question two: who are they going to trust more in terms of the government, or are they going to and the Bank of England or the Federal Reserve? Who are they going to trust more, that or kind of you know like the young cousin at the Thanksgiving that you know has been banging on about crypto for years, you know, like
yeah, it, like you know the basing the yeah, like, yeah, who's going to trust who? What has been shown so far in crypto, and if you look at this year in particular, is that the capital tends to flow, number one, to the most like highly capital efficient and high utility blockchains. So the reason why Terra is growing the way it is because you have a mixture of extraordinarily amounts of utility being built on it, but also because the tokenomics is extraordinarily favorable to the owner of the coin. Like, so compare that to say, for example, I don't know, like Cardano. Like if a Luna exists, there now exists no reason to have Cardano at all. In other words, there's every good reason to believe it'll literally go to zero. Why will that happen? Because superior tokenomics are going to attract more people to move their money to
the chain. And I'm in agreement. But going back to the original question of like
your normies. So the CBDC situation, what the normie is going to do is they're going to be like, oh, look, it's a CBDC. But look, my friend over there has a deflationary currency with non-inflationary yields. So essentially what happens is the CBDCs of most countries basically just go to zero too. That's what will happen.
I don't agree whatsoever. There's no like, if ands I think, or buts I think about you it. Don't realize how stupid most people are, and actually how indoctrinated by mainstream media they are. Like, as in the war on crypto will just begin, because if that happens,
no,
like,
but fear, I, but I, the fear and I doubt. Do, I do, I do get that. Like, I do get that. Like, if you go to the average shop today, like you go to the store, like yeah, you still have like a bargain bin of DVDs. I'm like, who the fuck watches DVDs, right? And then you have the bargain bin of Blu-ray discs. You're like, who watches those? And there's people that still don't put a disc in a player or whatever, right? I get that. There's those people, but 99, like the big part of the financial movements of the global markets aren't moved by those people anymore, right? So like, for example, when streaming comes along, well, you know, mom and pop who don't know how to use a television now figure out how to use one. That's all there is to it. Otherwise, they just get simply left behind. Right. Like that's just what happens. So I think it's just a generational thing. It's moving to the point where like my children know how to play on my phone better than like, it becomes normal, essentually, is what I'm saying. Like, yeah. There's nothing.
Well, I hope it does, because I'm actually in favor of it going the way you're kind of thinking it does. But I just don't think it does go that way. I think you're talking about like cultural change and like education of people.
How does the CBDC solve that for like the Wi-Fi free person? It doesn't
solve any of the problems. It's just a recreation of the existing thing and the stranglehold by the powers that will be. But it doesn't matter. It's the fact that like you don't realize how like stupid most people are and just uneducated, you know, and like the financial amount of fear and stuff they have in them, you know, like, you know, it's just as soon as you say people are blockchain, they you can, it's almost like a voice generator and like a, you know, like a, sorry, you know, one of those like, what do you call them?
Yeah, I see what you're getting at. Like we went through this with, remember, but like, were you around back in the late 90s on the, were you like using computers much then?
No, I was in preschool.
So you're a child. Yeah, yeah. So like during the 90s, like people were like, okay, like who's ever going to use email? Like right now my 80-year-old dad with like, you know, is using email regularly and has like 7 accounts and he can't keep track of his passwords, but he's using them. Then there was the, like, who's going to use a credit card on the internet argument? Like, what do you mean? Is my money going around magically around the earth? And so like, you know, the old people argument, like, and then even my father, essentially, who's 75, who, you know, basically has all his shit on autopay, right? Like he doesn't even use cash for or checks for any of that anymore. So I don't know. I'm not too worried about that. Like it's the folks who get left behind are basically going to be economically impoverished beyond imagination.
Well, that's just
they already are. But like either they get with the program or they're just fucked. That's what the reality is. Yeah. Like that's just what the true reality in my view. So but what I was saying was, so the CBDC situation and tokenomics, and this is whether it's Render, whether it's QRDO or whatever, the reason why Luna is rising the way it is not simply a function of like, you know, it's burning and all the other neat things. It's because like when you start comparing layer ones, you're like, okay, what would I rather buy? You know, this thing or that blockchain? What you'll notice is that like ultimately at some level, people start fleeing to quality. So in other words, the moment you know Luna exists, then you say to yourself, wait a minute, like there's zero reason to own any ADA then, because the tokenomics makes zero sense at that point. It makes XRP essentially worth wholesale worthless. It's just worth zero at this point. Because essentially you as the investor are going to shill good tokenomics to your friends and family. You're gonna, and then that noise will, you know, so in other words, trust is built over time and it's built over social consensus. So like, you know, I'm gonna tell people to get Luna because of that reason, for example, and that will be the same thing if like I own a CBDC. So let's say I have a CBDC and my work pays me in like freaking US dollar CBDC coin or whatever. I'm going to be like, fuck this. I'm going to convert it to Luna immediately, right? Like, so like that's what people end up doing. And once it's simple to do that, right? Like when you said, you know, wallets that are essentially like fungible, you can transfer between different things. People push a button and next thing you know, they have something that earns them more money than they did 5 seconds ago. What do you think is going to happen, right? Like the wallet makers themselves will make it automatic, right? The moment you like, you know, get your income, it goes directly into UST and on Anchor. That's essentially what like Alice Finance is about to do next.
Yeah, no. So I've been like, following Alice Finance and Kado.
Yeah, like in like a normie, like soon as Alice Finance does their thing, what I'm going to do is my housekeeper or whatever that I pay every, you know, week or whatever, I'm going to tell her like, okay, look, I'll pay you extra if you go on Alice or whatever. and that way I can, and then there's like groups on Terra building like subscription type things and like stuff where you can pay weekly and stuff like that to a wallet.
Yeah.
I'm just going to set her up.
Following one of those. What's the name of the subscription one? I've got that noted down somewhere.
Subterra is doing subscriptions, but there's also someone doing like payments to like a time-based payments to wallets and stuff like that. So, you know, something that will send out money out of like a AUST vault into like an employee's wallet.
Yeah.
So yeah, like my housekeeper doesn't know the first thing about crypto, but if she finds out, oh yeah, I'll just pay her $25 extra. And by the way, while it's sitting on her wallet, she's making 20% on it. Oh, and by the way, there's a debit card and she can spend that shit immediately. Like she's going to figure it out pretty quickly how to make it work.
No, you know, no doubt. What do you kind of think about? Because maybe it's just not even an issue, but obviously with Do Kwon and that, they seem to be getting attacked by the SEC, or being, they've gone after at least. What do you, and then also with kind of like the Mika regulations, and just generally everyone doesn't really like stable coins. What do you, how do you think that plays in with
the SEC's? The SEC's situation right now is not really about stable coins. It's about like the fact that, you know, they subpoenaed Doe to come talk about Mirror, and he sort of said, like, no, because you have no authority over, you know, A, a South Korean citizen, but B, like, it's a decentralized network, and we have no we have no material interest in Mirror Finance, and we also don't have any of it. So you can go, like, you know, sort of fuck yourself. Like, basically, the SEC, like, in my view, if they want to shut it down, they should just buy enough Mirror tokens, moon my bags, and then, like, take a governance vote to shut it down.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, right? Mirror's definitely got an issue, though. I mean, like, because it definitely passes the Howey test, you know?
Yeah, but there's nothing they can do about it. Like, there's nothing they can do about it. So they're the SEC is wholesale option.
Traditional channels, but I mean, like, pointless. I'm sure they'll get creative. No, do you not think? Like, I mean, the way they're going after him right now, it seems
they're not going to get creative. Yeah, I work with enough government agencies to know that they're fucked. No, the SEC simply does not have the manpower. No, I can make infinite forms of Mirror protocol, right? Like, I can run so many front ends of it that basically no one can shut anything down. They are basically wholesale fucked. I promise you, there's nothing they can do about this at all. They can make some noises, but they're screwed either way. So the entire United States equity market, global equity markets are
But going back to like Alice Finance and stuff, like, you still, from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you were for Alice Finance, for them to, you know, to have a card and to be able to use that in a store, you know, that would be run through what I'm guessing like Visa or MasterCard or something. Like, so, or are you thinking Alice Finance is going to be purely app to app, and the store owner or the shop owner is going to have the Alice wallet themselves? Like, or because that's one way they could shut it down.
No, the Alice wallet, I believe they're going to go through Prime Trust, and then they are going to go, basically, there'll be the settlement layer. Now, remember, the SEC doesn't have any issues about UST or stablecoins in general. What they have a problem with is the way that Tether and Circle function. What they're doing is they're essentially selling it. They're basically lending out a security because the dollar coins or whatever that they're producing are not actually backed fully by dollars, right? That's the problem that the SEC has. You've essentially created a securitized coin that sort of represents a debt, and these are unregistered securities from that perspective by central agencies that, like, I guess Circle, where does it operate out of, where, US? So this is the problem that they're in. So that's a different problem entirely.
Sorry for my ignorance, but in terms of how you'd look at UST then, I mean, what is UST backed by?
UST is backed by nothing.
So is that not an issue? It should be. In their eyes.
Same as Bitcoin's backed. Yeah, first of all, there's nothing they can do about it. That's the first problem. The second thing about UST is it's not actually backed by anything. And it's not claimed to be backed by anything, actually. It only maintains its dollar peg through algorithmic behavior of the background programming, and two, by arbitrage by interested parties. You know, I guess they could make arbitraging UST illegal or something like that, but who's going to follow that? Nobody, because, like, there's nothing they can do about it. So the algorithmic stable coins actually are good for the US dollar, in the sense that, like, if we decide on Terra to leave the US dollar and build, like, for example, a stable coin based on, say, like, global temperature. I was talking to Doe about this last week. I was like, if you, let's say you convert, like, to a stable coin based on some just arbitrary metric, like, I don't know, like some multiple of absolute zero or some shit, like, you know, you create some arbitrary coin that's stable in its own right, that's non-inflationary, it actually is more attractive than the dollar. And then basically the dollar gets screwed in the long run. So actually the presence of a UST stable coin actually is good for the dollar, because it, like, cements the valuation of the dollar in an indirect way, right? See that, how that works?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
no,
like,
I see that.
If we go away from UST, then they're really screwed. Yeah. So like if Bitcoin becomes the dominant currency and it stabilizes in price, you know, after like it's $10 million or whatever, then, you know, then the dollar is basically screwed entirely.
Yeah. So, right? So what you're basically saying they should be grateful it's called UST instead of maybe like USP or US pound or something, you know?
Or just US, like, you know, global temperature or where the, you know, some temperature based you know, it's like based on an oracle and it's technically stable. So then what happens is you have
to talk about other ways. And like, by the way, I'm on the side of Luna. I'm just thinking about other ways it could be, they could go after it. What about if they were?
I think if they tried to go after it, that's what you would do.
Wouldn't you block them from the App Store? Like, or something, and have Apple block them or something? Or can they not do that?
Well, no, because like you can do all of the Terra Station functions without the app now, so that's pointless. So like, yeah, blockchains, like the front end pieces of it, like you can have all of that on decentralized systems, and even redundant front end
become like everywhere. Does it not need everyone? Most people use mobile.
The way I describe it. Yeah, the way I describe it is like when the government can shut down BitTorrent, then they can shut down Terra. And guess what? They haven't been able to do shit about BitTorrent. They're not going to shut down they're not going to do anything about a crypto. There's just no way. There's no rational way to stop it. So the technicalities of all these things, what I'm saying is, like, if you look at tokenomics, like the utility coins, like for example Render, like for example QRDO, and like there's a lot of other sort of like application specific utility coins. Like when you were saying, well, I think that maybe we'll have a better ROI on investment on some of those. That may be true. It may not. And the reason is, just keep in mind, like utility coins can become very overpriced. To where their valuations far exceed their actual like utility needs. So I've had this problem happen before in other investments in crypto. So like, I'm not saying this just to like FUD, Render, or QRDO or whatever. But you can have those things languish for a very long time before the functional utility of them is high enough to support the price they're at. Whereas like the layer one coins have a clear source of revenue to the layer one coin, like Terra. So you'd be surprised how much more growth potential there is in, say, for example, Luna at this point. So if anyone here is like a Luna person or not sure, like Luna, like could do a easy solid 20x within like a 1 to 2 year time.
So you know, in terms of the burn rate and stuff. So what happens when it starts getting down? You know, like how long does it take for it to start getting down into, you know, like into like decimals? You know, like being, let's say, what one is worth, you know, 100,000. I mean, how long is that going to take?
That depends. Like, it depends on partly the. Like how much UST is minted at lower Luna prices, because more of it burns during that time. Will it,
you know, as there's a smaller and smaller amount, forgive me, your math is not great, as there's a smaller and smaller amount of Luna, and obviously there's an increasing usage of UST, would that mean that it becomes exponential, the burn rate, or is it always like a linear rate?
Well, it depends on, first off, the total demand for UST. If you just look at how much USDC and Tether there are, let's assume there's $100 billion demand for UST. Assuming that even like the crypto market cap jumps a good 10x over the next few years, which is highly probable, then like the need for stable coins, the total requirement for stable coins could be a good solid 1 trillion market cap situation. Since we're barely even at like 10 billion market cap USD, we could talk about a very, very extreme amount of usage of something like UST or even some of the competitor coins. There's plenty of room for that. And I think, you know, the Luna's elasticity and the way that the math works, you know, you could have a market cap that doesn't change that much, but Luna be worth 10 grand a coin. Like, that's very feasible. So how long does that take? Well, I don't know. If you just look at like BTC or Ethereum as like just a general reference point, you'll probably only need to wait like 5 years in this, you know, and Luna's worth $5,000 or more, right? Like it's quite reasonable.
But so, but even talking about it like that, I mean, you think about it, Ethereum went from what, like, I watched it go from $200 last year to what, like, yeah, $4,000 in the space of what, 6 months or whatever it was, 9 months. I mean, do you not think Luna could also do that? I mean, the token supply is not that far off it.
Oh yeah, it can very much do that. Like for example, well, first off, Luna tokenomics is like vastly superior to anything that Ethereum has. That's first thing. So, but the second thing is like, if you just look at Ethereum itself back in 2017, when it was basically a cycle one move, you saw the coin jump from like, what was it like, you know, practically nothing to like $1,200 in the first year it came out. Most of that was just a speculative noise bubble with very little supporting volume, which Luna's volume support is much, much better on the way up. So it's like sort of slowly raising its floor price on the way up, but also its UST demand is going to rise on the way up as well. That's just how adoption works. So you have a dual adoption mechanism. And so you not only have the volume support, but the UST demand support building simultaneously, not to mention the fact that Luna has actual yield output that's not inflationary. So like compared to like 2017 Ethereum, like Luna is like orders of magnitude better and therefore undervalued considerably at even at current valuation. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, so it can definitely do all of those things. And I think the reason why, for example, I don't own way more Render right now or QRDO, for example, is because the opportunity cost is high for making an error in Luna. The big reason why is because I can borrow off my Luna, right? I can't borrow off my Render or QRDO. So with a higher Luna price, I can buy like, you know, a ton of Render and a ton of QRDO, but I can't do the other way around if I
own those. Which platform are you using to lend to borrow off
Luna? Well, Anchor Protocol, so you can immediately borrow like 45% LTV off of there, like within an instant. So that's one of the big utilities of Luna, obviously. So at least that's what a lot of us use. So that's how I bought my Render and QRDO and Kadena and this and that. The other thing on KuCoin is I just borrowed off my Luna for a nominal interest rate and, you know, essentially... Basically, I can get price exposure to all of those things while still having Luna's tokenomics be my primary driver of my portfolio, which, you know, makes perfect sense to me.
In terms of wallet addresses, where are we at right now with Luna? Like unique wallet addresses.
What do you mean?
Well, how many unique wallets are they actually holding Luna at the moment?
Oh, in total. I don't remember. Let me see. Maybe someone can pull that up. It's on the Terra Station web app. I don't remember the actual number, but it's actually been rising quite fast lately, obviously, because the higher market cap comes, everyone starts getting excited about it and starts buying it and getting wallets, and that's what's been happening lately. But I don't know the exact number. It's been rising fast, though. We haven't even seen the like FOMO season. Like I've been watching some other platforms and shit, like nobody even knows what Luna is. They're like, oh, why is it going up? And why in the world is it number 9? What does it do? And, you know, so like people just have just largely ignored Luna. Like I think on stock Twits, there's like freaking like probably like 250,000 people that follow Doge and like 7,000 people follow Luna. So to say we're early
is an understatement.
Like to say that we have a good solid couple of thousand upside.
No doubt. But if you want to carry on the room, can I kind of swap ownership over to you?
Yeah, sure. I think you can. I'm not sure. And if anyone wants to chime in and like throw some ideas out there, certainly hop in the discussion and whatever. Ben kind of started the meet to kind of talk a little bit about Render QRDO, but like I was going to start one myself anyway, and then sort of just we joined together and kind of did this. I don't know if it'll allow me to take over as host or what. Let me see. Yeah, I don't know that it'll allow that. Any of you guys want to hang in there? Harry, you're here. You have a lot of like more sort of like technical Luna analysis. You want to jump in and kind of throw some ideas? Yeah, when Ben drops on here, I don't know if he can make me primary host or not. Ben, did you figure it out? Maybe. Or Hutch is here. Can you guys actually hear me, or is this thing broken now when he dropped? Can't really tell. You guys throw me some emojis or something. There we go. Here's someone that requested to speak. Oh, there you go. Just make sure the space wasn't broken. I'm trying to add somebody here.
He's talking.
Hey, Take T, what's up?
Hey, we can hear you talking. The mic's good.
Okay. Yeah, good, good. Yeah, any comments about the sort of random discussion we've been having?
Oh, I just thought it was really interesting, and I thank you for being able to take the time to be able to explain it all to all of us. It means a lot, actually.
Yeah, no problem. You're into which chains right now?
Luna and Kadena.
Oh, okay,
I actually
tried
going for the Kadena NFT drop.
Oh, wait, what drop is that?
Kadena Kongs, actually.
So, like, my drop. What am I supposed to do that?
Sorry, what?
It's like it's an airdrop, or what? It's an airdrop for Kadena. What's the story?
It was the NFT launch for Kadena Kongs, the first NFT drop on Kadena's new chain.
Okay, so that did get released. Is it working?
It hasn't currently launched yet, so you can't mint them yet. But I think it's coming out soon because their NFT marketplace isn't out yet currently.
Okay. Yeah, because I know that quite a few dApps are opening up on Kadena. I just hadn't looked carefully at the schedule lately to see like what's right. Working and what's not. I think everyone's interested in seeing like, hey man, sorry. Yeah. The space is kind of because Ben dropped. So that's why the whole thing got wrecked here. So we started kind of start over. Oh, so maybe we can wait for a few people that were in the, maybe wait for a few people that in the conversation to come back. But so the big thing I guess everyone's waiting for is KDEX, which is the Kadena DEX.
Right. That's what I've heard.
Did you hear about it? Any date yet on that? Or
I haven't. I know that the timeline is like late December, coming into like 2022. And
thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was a Twitter space hosted by Ben May, titled Picks, Shovels, and Vortexes. All my vortexes live in Texas. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Check both belts, yo, we're locked and loaded. Coming through to test, y'all works of oldest. Like the motherfucking past ain't relevant. Selling these cats on the same old developments. Folks hacked into the housing projects. Never even known what it's like to prosper. Fuck that, y'all, I thought this was America. Marinating in the raw bold is our character. The fight that's ahead, shit, it won't be easy. It's like the MPP got people greedy. That's the narrative of perpetual progression. And it's civilization's darkest lesson. Don't take it from me, look the fuck around. And know what to look for before it goes down. And know what you're good for when they come to your town. Cross that threshold and get drunk the fuck out.
Check out the tech. Check out the tech. Check out the technique. Check out the tech. Check out the tech. Check out the technique. Check out the rhythm. Check out the tech. Check out the technique. Check out the tech. Check out the tech, out the technique.
You better farm your land or it'll get farmed for you. Big pharma farming hemp that breeds loyal. It's all in these documents I bring forward. The nobles are obviously in league with big oil. When we release the lease on these resources, we'll need of course a briefcase and three sorcerers.
complete with Greek sources and people to pull the trigger when I give these orders. Struggling a while with these disorders, chaotic neutral but still wishing he was in orbit. Stonks only go up, when did this shit become do or die? Viva Elon Musk will be my battle cry. I mean, somebody's gotta lead the autists into battle when we finally defeat the bosses. Level up shit and shift the wealth and make sure you keep a little bit for yourself.
Check out the check out the technique.
Check out the technique. Check out the technique. Check out the technique. Check out the technique. Check out the technique. Check out the technique. Check out the technique. Check out the technique. Check out the technique. Check out the technique. Check out the technique. Check out the technique. Check out the technique. Check out the technique.